Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm glad you're here this morning. We are very glad that you are here today. Your presence is a witness to the life of God and His presence in our world. And that is no small thing. We are thankful for you here this morning. We are thankful that we're able to come together, that we're able to gather around the table of Christ, that we're able to break the bread and drink the cup, that we're able to lift up songs of praise and prayers in the Word, and we're doing it all in the name of Jesus, and we're doing it together. It's a shared experience, and it is an experience of renewal. Whatever has happened to you recently, whatever your week was, whatever your weekend has been like, however last night went for you, we are here today. You are present here today, and God is doing His spiritual work through Christ to renew our hearts and renew our lives. We've been spending time the last several weeks this month talking about renewal, talking about how in Jesus Christ, in Christ, we are blessed to be able to begin new each day. That we start over. We start over in seeking God. We start over in knowing Him. We're able to have a new beginning. We begin again each day. This renewal is a gift from God through His Spirit and through His Son. And we've been talking about part of the way that God leads us through that transformation and leads us through that renewal, through His Word, through prayer, and then today we're focusing on through one another, through sharing our lives together. Maybe you've heard this story before, but a mom was trying to wake up his son on a Sunday morning, and he was being very reluctant to get up, and she's banging on the door. You gotta get up, you gotta get up, it's time for church, you gotta get ready. And he just yells back at her begrudgingly and says, no, I don't want to. And he says, I have two good reasons why. One, they don't like me there. And number two, I don't like them much either. And the mother replied back, I've got two good reasons why you are going to go this morning. Number one, you're 47 years old. That's not the part. Number two, you're the preacher. Okay. That joke's really funny for me because I was with my mom this week, and moms, you will always be moms, won't you? And parents, we will always be parents to our children. You know, coming to church is not an easy thing. Coming to be together. And this, just this gathering, just this space, is becoming more and more challenging. Families are being tugged at and pulled at. Young people are being tugged at and pulled at. I shared a little article on the back, if you have a bulletin, if you grabbed one of those this morning, just talking about the kind of the frantic pace of life. And several years ago, I made my first mission trip, and I got to, it was in the Caribbean, a beautiful island. Dominica was the island, And when we arrived there, I was dealing with a bit of culture shock, even though I had a lot of time for prepared. I had memorized all the things we were going to do, and our schedule was all planned out and all these things. And then I got there, and I saw what seemed like, to me, people who were just standing around in the community. I wondered, when do they get things done? How are they able to provide for one another and all these things? And I'm going by the clock and going, we've got all this to do, we've got all this. And after being there for a few days, and especially after the first week, I realized that there was a sickness in our American frantic, frenetic pace. that did not help life but or relationships or sharing the gospel, but actually, in many ways, choked it up. And I learned a powerful lesson about an idol in my life, the idol of busyness, that idol of feeling like I'm in control, or the idol of the clock that is just hanging over us and we literally feel the weight from one passing moment to the next. And for so many of us, just getting here on Sunday morning is like moving a mountain, isn't it? Because our lives are so congested and choked up. And it's very tempting, especially in American culture, to say, you know what, I can find another way to be able to meet this spiritual need. After all, we just spent the previous weeks talking about, if you own a Bible, you can study the Bible by yourself, can't you? Last week we talked about prayer. You can certainly do prayer by yourself. And we know and believe that God does speak to us. God does connect with us in those personal devotions. We're firm believers in that. But we are missing out on this beautiful, profound mystery and joy and pleasure and treasure, because it is God's delight to meet you in the presence of another human being. I've thought about this a lot just recently, that God didn't, and I'm a preacher, and I've spent my life here. But God did not give the world a Bible. God gave the world His Son. And His Son gave the world His church, His body. And then He gave the Scriptures, He gave His Word to the church to sustain and to inspire and to give us that source of coming back to. How do we encourage and how do we build each other up and how do we breathe life and renewal into one another? Remember, that is the order, by the way. God sends His Son. His Son sends His church to the world. And then the Bible. That's how it happened. The church existed before we had the Bible. I do want to draw your attention to the Bible, and we do have a text for this morning as we reflect on these ideals. We are in Romans chapter 12, this great text on renewal. But what I want you to notice as we read these words, and as these words were read for us just a moment ago, I want to highlight a little bit Dan read for us just earlier. When you listen to Paul, you need to hear. When you hear Paul, let's just say this right now. Paul means y'all. Can you say that? Paul means y'all. Did you know that Paul had a Texan accent? Greek Texan, okay? Greek Texan. Because we're in an American culture, we're very individualistic, and we will mistakenly pick up and we'll read these passages, and we do it in such a personal way. We'll read the word you and not know that he's actually talking in the plural sense. He's meaning y'all when he talks about that the Spirit of God is in you. He means you all. God is abiding in us. And the word that he's writing is for us together. Listen to that while we reflect on these words again from Romans 12 in verse 3 and following. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of, let's say this together, every one of Y'all, very good, very good. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so we in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. You know, God understood this, and it's a part of our very DNA. You know, part of the design, part of the human design, is that we are in relationship. Do you remember that great text in Genesis 2 and 18, whenever we have the creation story and God is, we hear the story of the very first human being in Adam, and God has placed Adam in the garden, and there he is, and he notices even though he's given him other creatures, there's creatures of the air and creatures of the sea and creatures on the land. He has, it's beautiful there in the Garden of Eden, but you know what? Adam was totally isolated. Even in that beautiful setting, and God in Genesis 2:18 looks at Adam there and he says, it's not good for man to be alone. Reminding us that humanity, the way that God made us for shared relationship. You know that science, recent surveys recent science has discovered the impact of relationship on the brain. We're learning more about this. In fact, the number one indicators or impact on lifespan has to do with relationship. More than quitting smoking or diet and exercise or quitting alcohol or any of those things, the number one factor in lifespan had to do with relationship. How much time someone spent in interaction with other people. And not electronic interaction, but actual face-to-face interaction with other people affects our brains and the neurons clicking in there and the immunities and even the ability to be able to have those feelings, those chemicals that happen inside of us that make us feel well. Science is revealing to us that the number one factor on those that kind of quality doesn't come from diet, exercises, or those different things, but actually comes from interpersonal relationships. But God did that, didn't He? Part of the beauty of what's going on here in the church is we're having this abiding communion with God, God, Father, Son, and Spirit, God Himself, who in His own very, very nature is relationship is built into the core of who God is. And God in loving relationship, God being love, wanted to share naturally. He wants to share His love in relationship with others. And so He creates humanity and He longs for us to be able to have this mutual relationship and communion of sharing and giving and receiving love. And so God does that beyond measure by giving us His Son. So that God's offering of love is unending and without holding anything back. Because God longs to be in relationship with His people, with His creation. God gave us the church to be able to receive that hand and the open arms of the love of God being extended to the world. You know, one of the challenges to your devotional life or your spiritual discipline life is it can, if you're just doing it personally, if your only time with God is just personal, isolated time with God, it can be very one-sided, can't it? We can listen to God when we read Scripture and we can offer God our heart in prayer. But the embrace of God is received through the love and the kindness of the brothers and sisters in whom He dwells. In Christ, we belong to one another. Something's missing. If we are not able to go to another person, and what we learn is what God is doing in that life and in this life is not meant for the individual, but it's meant to be brought about to the other there. Do you see the beauty there of the sharing of gifts? Why does God give gifts to the church? Why do we have spiritual gifts? Someone has a spiritual gift. Someone has the spiritual gift of teaching, or someone has the spiritual gift of encouragement. Whatever their spiritual gift is, is it meant for the individual? Man, I am encouraging myself over here. Good job today, Nathan. I have the spiritual gift, and it is all for me. Thank you, Jesus. It's a beautiful design. Every single part of the body has been gifted through the Spirit of God, through Jesus Christ. Jesus has given it to you to go and give to somebody else. That's why you're here. And here's the beautiful thing that happens. As you are pouring yourself out, God pours into you. And as you are pouring yourself out, someone else, God is putting someone else around you. Someone else around you that He has poured into, that has the gift that you're needing poured into your life. Do we need the church? Maybe the better question we need to be asking is, do we need God? Because this is how He works. This is how He works. I love the language that Paul uses here about how this happens. You can kind of see just the beautiful nature of the community of faith. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Can I give you a little insight and pull the curtain back on this verse just a little bit? Every single person is needing something from you, and I don't mean financial. Can we do this? This is one thing that makes church different. We all need to confess what the world wants to deny and what society wants to deny. We have this false narrative in our culture that we can become this our own hero, that we can reach this idea of success, and we'll use technology and we'll use our education and all these things to be able to further ourselves to the point where we will be able to reach that pinnacle. And what do those who are at the top of our world usually tend to... What do we tend to find out about the quote-unquote stars or millionaires or the ones who seem to have it all? And yet no one has been able to escape this moral need, this soul need that our hearts all have because we have this brokenness that cannot be healed, cannot be restored without God, without Christ. Share with those in need. We have a broken world whose needs are so desperate. In the church, we have those who are rejoicing, and Paul says, rejoice with those who rejoice. In the church this morning, we have those who are grieving. And God says, the way I'm going to show up to that person is I'm going to send you to weep with the one who's weeping. Imagine that. God is wanting to step in and break in, and He is breaking into our world. But His longing and delight is to use you as that instrument of love and healing and peace and presence. We have this great quote from Christian author Henry Nouwen that talks about this tendency. Go ahead and go to that slide there of Henry Nouwen. No one person can fulfill all your needs, but the community can truly hold you. The community can let you experience the fact that beyond your anguish, there are human hands that hold you and show you God's faithful love. That's how God does it. He does it with your hands. He does it with your embrace. He does it with your kindness and with your smile. And that offering that you're giving from your hand is truly a gift from God coming through you. You know that that's true because none of us would be here. None of us would be here if it were not that God was moving in someone else's life to impact my life and your life. He moves us through human hands and through human hearts and connects His divine love and His divine presence through everyday, common, broken, sinful people. And this is where the challenge is, isn't it? When we read that statement there in 12 and verse 10, be devoted to one another in love. If we're truly honest, church life can be discouraging at times because the last time I checked, church is people and people are messy. And oh, the hurt and disappointment it gives us when we have a brother or sister who lets us down. That person's supposed to be a Christian. How could they do that? If that's how church is, if that's how the preacher is, or the leaders are, and if that's how they are, I don't want anything to do with it. And yet Jesus, I think about this a lot. Jesus had a small group that He did life with, but all of them left Him. Every single one of them ran away at His most dire time on earth. And when He hung on the cross, the only one that He had to talk to that was there with Him, to go with Him the rest of the way, was a thief who became a friend, who became a Christian. And yet Jesus still comes back. He comes back to those friends who turned on Him, who sinned and who hurt Him. And the truth is confessed that they did sin and that they did break God's heart. And Jesus still says, and I forgive you. You want to know how you're able to abide with this group of people or any group of Christians? You want to know how we are to be devoted to one another in love? We have to confess that we are sinful people. And we have to be able to forgive sinners. Is this not what Jesus does for us over and over and over again? And he welcomes us back each time and says, come. Come and abide with me. Come and be with me. Let's be renewed. I can take your brokenness and restore your life and renew your heart. The church is blessed in a special way because everything that Christ did becomes a part of what makes the church good. And the church is continuing to practice and live out Christ. Christ is abiding in this world, and His kingdom is breaking forth into the world, and He's doing it through His church. The Spirit continues to move the church in spite of any of the failings that someone has, and God somehow still, He's able to bring us beyond those weaknesses and move us to overcome those shortcomings. We have this phrase that you hear all throughout the New Testament, and it's this simple phrase, one another. One another. I want you to notice just for a moment here, some I have a few of these listed here. There are so many, but this is a part of what makes the church. This is a part of what makes us who we are. And one of the keys on there is going to be always forgive and love. Forgive and love. I want us to take just a few moments here, and I want us, one of the things that I want us to do here, I want to give just a few minutes here for you to be able to look around to each other, because sometimes what happens when we come together for worship is we don't even know who's right there with us. And sometimes people come here and they feel more isolated and more alone. And I want to invite you just for a moment. We're just going to take a few moments, and then I'm going to offer a prayer for us together. I want you to notice some of these one another's here together. And if you would just take a moment and share with the person who's near you and say which one of these really has a major impact in your life. It might be encourage one another or something like that. Just take a moment and turn to the person that's around you. And then I'm going to lead a prayer for us together. While you're doing that, we're going to have a few of our shepherds and their wives here up front with us if you feel that need to have that time. But right now, I want you to turn to the one that's near you and talk for just a moment. Look into their face and see them and talk to them about which one of these one another's means a lot to you. I hate to break up the good conversation. I want to offer a prayer in just a moment. I was asked this past week to go and speak at Sunset's lectureship in Lubbock, and I taught two classes, and in those two classes I talked about mental illness and depression and suicide, especially amongst our young people. And you would not believe how many people came up to me afterwards and just confided in me and said, I'm struggling so much, but I don't feel like I can talk to anybody. I had a good preacher friend who came up to me And before I left, he gave me a note, and he just confided me and shared just how hard he's in a pit right now, and he's struggling with depression. He's struggling with family needs. He's struggling with a grown son that's living in the far country. And all I could think to myself with every person that came and confided in me was, God, please put community around them, Christians around them, women and men around them who will bear their burdens with them. Let's pray together. God, I am so thankful for your church community. We are so thankful. We're so thankful that you gave the world your Son and that Jesus gave the world his body. And Jesus' body is present and alive all over the world today. All over the world today, hearts of men and women, young and old, are crying out and lifting up the name that is above all names, crying out that Jesus is Lord. But God, help us also to be able to look to one another, just to see each other face to face, and to feel your presence in the love and kindness and sharing and confession and forgiveness of brothers and sisters, Lord. Would you bless us as we seek this renewal to begin again with you in our lives? This day we ask in Jesus' name. And the church said, Amen. Let's stand together, and Otis is going to lead us in a song.